We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have six items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, first item on discussion, natural gas upgrade, NSP. Mr. Hsu.
Mr. Chairman, I can speak to that. So staff received a call from NSP regarding a possible upcoming natural gas upgrade. It's going to be a $28 million upgrade to the southwest area of Fargo, West Fargo. This is a result of customer growth in the area, as well as I think they're planning for a negative 37 degree day. It can happen once in every 30 years. That's the reasoning they gave for it. But really, I think they were requesting to have some guidance on how to actually proceed with this, because what they're looking for is some sort of assurance of cost recovery if they do go forward with this, similar to kind of like an ADP, or if there's another process that they could use. But for natural gas distribution systems, there really is an advanced determination of prudence set forth in statute. That being said, even though it's rare, the commission has reviewed single issue rate making proceedings. In other contexts, I mean, for example, the TCJ is one where we did, as well as, of course, the other previous tax cut as well in 1986. But really, they're looking for either a signal or some sort of determination that they're of prudence and cost assurance in going forward.
Well, I would never jump the gun personally and say anything sounds reasonable without more information. Minus 37 degree day.
Negative 37 degree day, yeah.
Okay.
That's like the 1 in 10 thing, though.
1 in 30, I guess, is what.
But like for, it's like in electric, it's 1 in 10 contingency. This is their contingency that they plan for. Mm-hmm.
This is a contingency that they set forth.
Okay.
Yes.
So with that said, though, it has been minus 37. When's the last time it was minus 37 in Fargo, and other than last winter, probably?
I guess these things aren't really things I could speak to, but really they're looking for some guidance in how the commission would like to proceed procedurally with this, whether the commission would be willing to entertain some sort of prudence determination, whether they would like to have an informal sit down and discuss this. Just from probably an admin standpoint, and I asked Pat to make sure that he was here as well to discuss this, there really isn't a application fee mechanism that's allowed in statute for advanced determination prudence outside of the electric side. So they're really, it would really come down to staff processing themselves.
I was going to say, I'd like to look at an informal if it's, you said 55 million?
28 million.
Or 28 million, that's still a huge number. I think an informal would be in order to ask more questions and get more data from them through that process, unless we felt we could gather enough data prior to it. But, I mean, that's a big ask.
Right. For $28 million, just from knee-jerk reaction, this would send most utility operations into a rate case, I would think, a shortfall of that much.
Yeah.
Just from my experience.
So, well, this isn't a shortfall. This is an investment they want to make, though, to upgrade the system.
Yeah, this is to ensure that they actually get the cost recovery for this, a prudence determination or some sort of strong signal from the commission that this is something that they want to see going forward.
The couple things come to mind. I don't disagree with the informal. That seems reasonable. Why isn't there ADP for gas? I'm curious about that. Not that it really applies to this, but is there some reason that the legislature specifically didn't provide them for gas? So I'd like to think about that. And then secondly, when they come for an informal, I'd like to know more about how their extension policy works and how this... you know, what fraction of that $28 million is covered by that extension policy, and what else, you know, what fraction of it is the upgrade for the contingency and, you know, those sorts of things. So that's sure. Those are the thoughts that come to mind immediately on this.
And just to speak to those briefly, in my very superficial understanding of this project so far, is this, it seems like it's much broader than just an extension in and of itself. There is a full capacity upgrade as well. So those will all be things that would have to be looked at, of course. And regarding the ADP, I guess I'm not going to speak necessarily to that, but the commission has always held itself out as being able to make a determination on any sort of even separate rate mechanism that for even outside of a rate case proceeding. It's just something that's very rarely done. And generally the commission, as well as almost all commissions, try to avoid doing single issue rate cases. Mm-hmm. I think NSP really asserts that this is something I think that they would say call unprecedented, because the reason $28 million is a notable sum. And I think they even acknowledge that this hasn't happened before. For a gas case, anyone has felt the need to come forward for some sort of preliminary determination for a prudency.
When was their last gas case?
Gosh, off the top of my head,
I think it was long, long time ago. We haven't had one since I've been on the commission. I want to say it was like 2000. I'd be interested in that and their current rate of recovery. What is their rate of return or whatever currently?
Off the top of my head, I don't have that available.
But maybe you could get us those too, Jack.
Sure. But what I am hearing is there's some interest at least entertaining a discussion on this and to schedule an informal, or am I not hearing that correctly?
I wouldn't object at all to an informal.
Okay.
I will say this, though. You know, it's not like ADPs even have been around for a century and just are always a part of the system. That's only, you know, maybe a 20-year-old thing. I was in the legislature when we created it as an option for the commission. And the discussion at the time was, of course, then generation projects that were talked about at the time were mainly coal plants that would be $1 billion or $2 billion. And the whole discussion from the utilities was, there's just no way we can extend ourselves, even with partnerships, for that kind of money without some kind of assurance, or even not if it's not total assurance, but some kind of a signal from the commission. And so we granted the ADP process, you know, thinking of those kinds of things. $28 million is a lot of money, but not those kinds of numbers is what we were talking about with the ADP process. So I sure don't mind discussing. I'd be curious, you know, are they building out, projecting for 30 years of development or 2 years of development? Or, I'd be curious to discuss it with them, but
The other part,
it's about as far as I'd want to go at this point.
The other part is, you know, the extension policy. That's a good point, but to make sure that the extension policy isn't being abused at the same time under the guise of, you know, sorry, temperature temp type problems. So, Victor, do you have something to add?
I was just going to answer Julie's question from earlier. So their last rate case was 2006.
Yeah.
And we're authorized an ROE of 10.75 at that
time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 2006. So
it might be time for a rate case. I mean,
14 years.
10.75% interest?
Yeah.
I think they'd rather do this.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Or equity, not interest.
I guess, and to speak to that just in general, I think their concern is, I think they're planning on actually beginning construction, I think, next fall, before the 21-22 winter. And so if they do begin before then, or, I mean, it kind of depends
like
on
the
time.
Like a year from now? A year from now, I hope.
A year from now. So I think they were kind of hoping to have some sort of cost assurance even before they begin construction. But again, that's something for you guys to consider, and maybe you can discuss this in an informal.
I'm really would like to do an informal personally and have them come in and make their case on why this is necessary, of course, and why they should get recovery on it.
A rate case isn't the right approach.
Yeah, we could start with, I mean, if we roll it, if it rolls to a rate case, but that opens the door on other potential aspects too.
So in terms of direction, do we start with an informal and on this particular issue do that, and then we can always take the next step beyond that if necessary?
So yeah, that's a schedule.
That's scheduled. Thank you.
Do you think we'd be should I put it on scheduling for this meeting, or do you want, or will you need more information before we can start talking dates?
I was thinking we'd take the opportunity to discuss what works for the company as well and probably put it on one of the open slots for informal in the future.
Yeah, that that's works a good the idea. Commission. Then you don't even need to come back to scheduling.
Right.
Okay.
So you're ready. Good. Just wanted to check. The next is weights and measures. Again, Jack?
No, it isn't.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Solar development.
Jack was on a roll, though. Okay, so next, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
We'll get this one knocked out, too. So did you guys look at, I'm happy to do this on our behalf. It looks like it's going to be a project that takes a few years, and there's going to be three stakeholder groups, us, the tribes, and the industry, I believe. And they're going to do questionnaires, virtual listening sessions the first year, develop training guidance materials in the second year, deployment of the materials in a series of workshops or events in the third year. And the goal is to identify the barriers to tribal solar and solar plus storage adoption at all scales, and to ready the stakeholders to implement options to address these challenges. Personally, I think it's good for us to participate. We've got tribes that are interested in renewables, and solar is one of the options for them. And I think it would be helpful for us to bring our expertise to the table to support their efforts to do renewable development if they're interested in pursuing that. So I think it would be worthwhile, and I'm happy to do it and plan to do it. But I'm also, if you guys want to do it as well, we sure can.
One question I had on this from a jurisdictional standpoint, whenever we have talked about other types of development on sovereign land, where do we stand on this? I mean,
that even has to be considered as part of this.
Well, I think it does, because it says addressing regulatory challenges.
But we aren't. It isn't saying that we're going to. It's like identifying them and talking about barriers is the main thing. What are the barriers? So it's just a discussion and a study at this point. So I don't. I mean, one of the discussion points might be, well, there's confusion about what the jurisdiction is. I mean, that is a potential barrier. So that's how I think that would come up. Not like we need to, you know, come up with the solution to that. Just like that is a barrier, and, or a potential barrier is the confusion, even for developers to know who has jurisdiction over this.
I think it's going to come up right away, though. Really quickly, I think it's going to be one of the first issues raised, is talking about the process of deploying resources, and I think involvement. I'm in total agreement. I think involvement would be great, but I think that we should be ready.
Well,
before that even starts.
Won't be ready with answers for that, because this is like a multi-state, federal agency running this. So there won't be. It's USDOE. So. You've seen those reports. I don't think there'll be a lot of answers to that question determined in this.
My thought on this, I think, kind of matches, I'm not sure, but I think what Brian's concerns might be. You know, we approved a siting project in our regular meeting today, and I'm guessing that company got consultants who are familiar with the laws and figured out what the hurdles were to building the project they wanted to build, and did that and prepared an application and brought it to us. I think what this group is doing is getting regulators in to almost be assistants or almost advocates or consultants on helping them put a project forward. There are a lot of variables when it comes to tribal issues, the type of land ownership, the type of project ownership. There's all kinds of variables. It's, I think, not an area of law that's particularly clear based on case law and such. And I think getting involved in it just creates all kinds of opportunity for then a project to come along that says then, well, you know, someone from the commission, you know, back when we were planning this said, you know, if it's done this way, then it's okay. Well, then, you know, that wasn't necessarily the context someone was speaking to. I'm still not seeing how it is this commission's role to kind of take on this consulting or advocating responsibility. I think that that's someone else's responsibility, and they should prepare an application and bring it to us, and then we judge it, having worked on it already.
The way I'm reading this, it's NREL. It's not a developer. That's the National Renewable Energy Lab, part of the Department of Energy, so which is run by the president. So I see what you're saying, and if it was a developer coming here saying, we want you to help us develop the guidelines for how to come forward with the tribal solar project, I would say, well, you know, here's the sections on our website that lay all of the requirements out. We can't be your consultant. But there are barriers for development on tribal lands. There is. And I'd rather be at the table trying to help them be independent and productive and come up with good new ways to be use their resources than sit there and say, you know, no, we're not going to be part of it. I just don't think that's appropriate to wash our hands of it and tell them that we can't even participate in, like, helping them identify what the barriers are. I think that seems very benign to me.
I feel like I'm somewhat in the middle. Again, looking at addressing regulatory barriers to solar development and deployment on tribal land, and I'm not opposed to being a resource, but I think one of the first questions that they will ask is, okay, if we want to, you know, hypothetically put a 50-megawatt solar farm in or a 100-megawatt solar farm, what do you expect of us, or do we have to work with North Dakota Public Service Commission if it's on, you know, Standing Rock or wherever it might be? And I think that's just a question that we would have to be prepared to answer right away. And hopefully not just
giving
them. There
isn't an answer for that, though.
But giving them, well, it depends. And then, okay, then what's the criteria in terms of what does it depend on?
Yeah,
that's going to be one of the first things that's going to come up, and then, but because if we don't know that, I don't know how we help them with. Well, you need to go to this agency or these agencies if we don't know whether they do or they don't have to. So
I guess I'm willing to see if that is one of the questions, and at what point that comes in, and how you can direct them.
Yeah, I think it'll be the first one, but could be wrong.
Maybe not. I haven't looked at the survey yet. So, you guys don't want to be part of it, I'm hearing.
I do not. I don't think we should be. And
I'm willing to be a part of it if there is a reasonable chance that we will have to be a part of the regulatory process.
I don't think that this is necessarily has to be a commission decision. I mean, if you guys don't want to be a part of it, and I do, why can't I just be part of the study and speak on behalf of, you know, what I know, and not say, like, here's what the commission believes is, you know, or here it's not a commission decision or position.
I mean, if they're talking about challenges to getting an interconnect agreement or challenges to securing a purchaser of the excess power that they might produce, or a resource in terms of
is storage a viable option? I mean, it goes on and on.
I mean, I don't think we oversee one another. I think it's a bad idea. I think if more than one of us do, now we've made a commission decision and a commission is doing something. But if one of us is doing it, then I think...
Why don't you, Commissioner Fedorchuk?
What I think doesn't matter, I guess, but I do worry that if one of us does do it, yeah, I'm going to end up with a conflict of interest at some point.
And have you had the thought of the alternative of how it looks if we say no, we're not willing to participate in a study on how to improve or pursue reducing barriers of tribal renewable energy development?
Well, I think reducing the barriers to the extent it requires law changes or something, that's something for lawmakers, not the PSC, to do. I continue to think it's maybe consultants that work with them to find out what things need to be changed. But it's sort of like, to me, going to the judge and finding out how I need to do something so I don't get sued. That's not going to be the judge's job, because then if I get sued later, that judge is going to have to decide on the case. And so I just find this beyond...
Well, should we assign it to staff then?
Well, I'm in a little different place, and so listen closely again. I am willing to be a resource to help them, but you can either assign it to staff or you could take part in at the onset and see where it's headed and whether, I mean, you would recognize right away that, oh, you know, you're going into an area that we're going to ultimately have to rule on projects or potentially, but I still, right. That's the question for me.
Well, and if it ends up being, it may end up being something that requires more of a staff type involvement that, you know, that is so Jerry Lean or would likely be the one that would have a lot of the answers.
Why don't we get more information, whether it's through you or however you want to go about it as a portfolio holder, and then see where it takes us.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. I will do that and let you guys know if anything concerning comes up.
Okay. Now we'll get to the third item, which is weights and measures rulemaking, Mr. Hsu, and also pipeline safety rulemaking as well.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to give us a quick recap of what happened in our last work session, there was some discussion regarding a couple different provisions couple different proposed amendments that caused the Commission some concern. We set forth a quick plan how to proceed, and one involved working with Conrad to create some sort of proposed amendment that they felt would work for the Commission, and the alternative was just not to go forward with those amendments on that specific section, but to go forward with the rest. It was put on the agenda originally. However, even the one that was proposed without any changes, ultimately Conrad felt that there were some changes that even on a more basic level still need to be done. And so as a result of that, I asked that it be pulled back straight in just to admin discussion so that Conrad can give a brief explanation. And then subsequently that, we can issue the notice of hearing and put it on scheduling as well.
I mean, from my perspective, Conrad, I read what you provided and thought your rationale for revising the rule and I think you've... after looking at it more closely and kind of seeing what the changes were in comparison, thinking about it more clearly and seeing your clarifying comments, I'm supportive of the way you changed it in the draft. I don't need any amendments to what was proposed for the work experience P piece of the rules.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comments? I know I spoke with Commissioner Cross, just we want to make sure I provided you with those the total tests taken and kind of those ratios for you. And then I know I spoke with Commissioner Christman earlier today as well. So if were there any other concerns or thoughts that the commission had on the way staff is proposing to present the rule change with the change for the service person experience requirement?
I don't have any at this point.
Just for the purpose of my own clarification, there were two different copies that were presented. Both had proposed amendments to them. Is the one we're discussing right now, is that the one with the original amendments or the ones with the subsequent changes?
I believe the one that we are talking about is the one that we had discussed in the rulemaking session. Yeah. That would be
okay. So the original one
referred to as proposed rule, the version B,
okay.
Where staff is proposing to change the requirement from 3 months to 60 days. In addition, allowing the acceptance of some additional requirements to be able to make meeting the work history or giving credit for work history and experience that an individual may have obtained through a manufacturer's training course or reciprocity with another state by holding a certification through them as well.
So. Thanks.
Am I forgetting something? Had we found something that was objectionable with that?
If I remember that there was some discussion of whether it was a bit too prescriptive, mm-hmm. And they just, I think the commission sent them back to just kind of do some further evaluation of whether
and
something else could be changed in there as well.
Conrad, if when I was looking at the numbers, so 16 passed between the 75 and 80% mark, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Do you think that companies knowing or individuals knowing that it's 80%, they'll be a little more diligent in preparing ahead of time, or do you think that won't really change the what they've done prior to walking in to do the testing?
I think the staff's approach, and we've been working with the companies early on, going back to our roundtable discussion we had with them back in January of this year, to let them know what our expectations are for an individual that's walking through our doors to test. But we've also evaluated our own processes internally. As I discussed within our the proposal that I drafted, that I wrote up, talking about implementing some study guides, rewriting our tests as we go through the rulemaking process, so that they're going to be current and that we're going to be testing for knowledge that they're going to need to have in the field, not necessarily can you find this obscure reference or citation in the manual, which that's not something that they're going to have to worry about in the field. And so I do believe that with the changing in the standard and the change to the way we are going to move forward with implementing testing and providing some study aids, additionally doing a short presentation before they would test, is going to help ensure that they are being equipped with the knowledge we expect them to have out in the field.
Okay. And Conrad had presented that example to me earlier, and I didn't think at the time of a concern I just want to emphasize, so I'll say it now. I don't want our tests to just be tricks, to see if we can fool people. And I don't know to what level it might seem that way now. But also, there is a reason for some things like that. Just to be able to memorize the basic functions of the job and go out there. But then if they do run into something unforeseen and unplanned for, they have no capability of looking in the manual and figuring out how to figure something out that they haven't learned. That's a problem, too. And so some of that might be just to make sure that they can find something new. And so I don't want it to just be a test, like, can you get through the basic things and go out there and not have any concept how to figure out something new either.
No, absolutely, Commissioner Christman, and I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. And the test that we envision is the ability for that knowledge, but to be able to apply it in the field, which would include understanding and being familiar with the tools that are available to them to help navigate some of the challenges they may find out there. But thank you for those comments. I appreciate it.
I believe Conrad also has a motion prepared, so we can issue the notice of hearing as well, and I think that's set for scheduling today as well. So I guess the motion would be to issue a notice of hearing for the proposed amendments B for the weights and measures as well as the pipeline safety that Caleb had already provided and there were no issues with. Did you provide it to the commission already, or do you have a copy?
No, it should be a labeled admin B3. It should have been right on the top.
Mm-hmm.
We had that motion and documents.
So that's Brian's motion to make, right?
Just going back. Okay, so we can do that right now, correct?
That's correct.
I move the commission propose to adopt and amend the North Dakota Administrative Code as attached, issue a notice of intent to amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing, and issue an abbreviated notice of intent to amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing for publication in each official county newspaper throughout the state as required by law in Public Service Commission Weights and Measures Rulemaking Case Number WM-20-369 and Public Service Commission Pipeline Safety Rulemaking, Case Number GS-20-370.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Conrad.
That was a heavy lift.
It was. Feels good. We're moving the ball forward.
We're not going to wait for 12 years.
No, we're not going another year longer on this.
It's appropriate that weights and measures was a heavy lift.
It was a heavy lift. No pun intended.
Nice. All right. Sad that Dave had to miss that one.
Okay, next on the agenda, Commissioner Fedorchak.
So we have coming up, hopefully, I mean, the legislature will be able to start having hearings again and meetings, live or not. I would assume that maybe they'll go virtual, which will be interesting to do. But one of the things that they've called us in front of it, the IT committee, right, to talk about our thoughts on being part or not part of this main system or the consolidation. So we typically talk about that testimony. Wanted to just see where we're at and when that is and where the testimony is and what is our message, I guess.
I think that would be September 2nd.
Correct.
Is the rescheduled date, and it would really be consistent with all the conversations we've had since I've been here, and that is we have specialized individuals in IT that do, again, specialized types of work that they would continue to be best suited to be on site with the PSC as part of the PSC staff. At the same time, we're always open to centralization of services that makes sense, but these positions are very specialized in nature and the types of centralized activities that the IT committee, I think, is looking for wouldn't be applicable in this case. So that's consistent with how we laid out our budget. We're keeping all of those employees, and I think it's consistent with how we've our position has been, at least since I've been here, and that is they're unique, and there is no benefit to, from an efficiency standpoint, our taxpayers by moving them mm-hmm. away. In fact, it could create inefficiencies.
Centralized services do we support?
I would support centralized services for things, HR-related functions, open enrollment dates, that type of thing.
there's a broad range of very general things that do occur through HR with benefits, even though we do a little bit of it. You know, a lot of it happens with HRMS when it comes to benefit enrollment.
Well, don't we do our email through ITD?
We do email. Sure. We do all of our public-facing applications, our website, all of that stuff is run from ITD for security reasons. We air gap everything coming back. We've now joined Office 365 for better or for worse. All of those types of things. We get all of our network services from them. I'm leaving something out.
Telephone. Which apparently is going away.
Yep. And we participate in the contracts let by ITD, so we do aggregate our purchasing power through their contracts so that the state gets the best pricing, that sort of thing. There's a substantial amount of things that we do in concert with ITD.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't recall us highlighting those a lot in the past. I think that might be a nice thing to add, is that we lead with, here's all the things that we already are doing, and then go to what you were talking about. There's these few things that are very specialized that we feel super strongly that these need to be separate.
Well, and I did provide the chairman with a essentially a bullet point list of talking points.
Yeah.
That kind of lay that out. Stacy did put that into testimony if the chairman would like to have that. But it does highlight those services.
That feels different to me than what we've said in the past. We've kind of been like, hell no, we don't want to be part of this.
No, I can tell you from conversations with Steve, I told him that will not be the tact I would take in there. We're more than willing to be cooperative, and we're seeking out efficiencies that make sense. But we've just gotten to a point where we need these individuals on site. We can, through the bullet points, there's a good list, show numerous examples where we've been good team players and taken advantage of efficiencies that way. But, we're at the point now where it just doesn't make sense to have.
I have in
someone
the past.
Removed.
Oh, I'm sorry. You paused. I thought you were done.
You said heck no in the past.
I have in the past, and I don't believe it was only when I was chair. I think we've had it in other testimony, too. Emphasized some of the things that we do work with ITD on. And I know one of the things really emphasized was they provide a lot of the network security. And so I think we have done that frequently in the past. And I think it's important that we do, because there are some things where it works. I want to emphasize, though, because, Mr. Chairman, as you talked, kind of mainly emphasized the people. It's more than the people, too, because there are some hardware items and things that...
Infrastructure.
Clearly, ITD is going to make their purchasing choices and generalize the things that they need based on what works well for things like education and human services and Department of Transportation. And if those clash with what the mining industry and OMS uses, we're going to be ineffective. And there's plenty of history laid out from OMS testimony that in other states it hasn't worked when states consolidate, because the bodies that regulate mine reclamation specifically work in kind of their own little world, and they need to have equipment that works in that world. And so it is more than the people. It's also some of the infrastructure items.
Well, I'd agree with that generally. And I always hesitate at taking a deep dive in this particular format, but I'm going to deep dive just a little bit. Anything that's presented, if you're from ITD, you're going to look at anything presented and saying, so you're telling me that, put yourself in their shoes, that you don't think we're capable of coordinating with the federal entity or with others to make the right types of purchases. And to them, that is 101. It's really basic stuff. That's how they're going to look at it. So I think we have to be very careful with how we pitch and present.
It's definitely how they look at it. That's why they want to consolidate us.
Mm-hmm. So I do think it does go back to the specialized nature of the work.
It goes back to this, you make a good point,
but I think we just...
Which includes the people and the equipment.
The people and infrastructure. That's the safest way to say it.
Sometimes less is more in these things. So.
But if we only testify about people, they presume that we're okay with using whatever infrastructure items ITD recommends and consolidating that. And I think that would be really detrimental to our programs.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll go that far down, but you never know. There would be a lot of agencies that do more, that continue to do things that we've actually turned over to centralized services. I don't think we're a big target, to be real honest, but I could be wrong.
I think we're one of the main targets.
Yeah, I think we are too.
There's only a few left. Items that haven't been fully consolidated.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we'll be okay. Okay, well, I think we're just going to be spinning wheels if we stay on the topic, as interesting as it is. Okay, so that's next Wednesday. And Steve, can we distribute the testimony? Just so... from a procedural standpoint, so
another one?
This can be shared, and then
I assume this is what you're.
This is it. So, and it could very well still be tweaked. I've got to go through it again.
Yeah, that is
to make sure it flows from how I.
Very definitely a draft, but it's based upon the talking points. Talking points and conversations we've had.
Right.
I'm quite certain it needs some tweaking from your standpoint.
Yeah. So from a feedback standpoint on this, Jack, so if, you know, I'll probably make some modifications, you know, just to fit with my style, if you will, how I speak.
Mm-hmm.
The other commissioners will look and say, well, I like this or maybe not like that type of thing. And then from just funneling it back to Steve, aggregating the suggestions, and then redistributing. Can we do that as a regular course of business, or what's the procedure? So we're doing it correctly.
Yes, you can provide. Steve can receive recommendations and write his testimony to what he thinks would be, especially in his executive secretary role, what he believes the intent of the commission is, and then he can redistribute that back out.
Okay, so we're good to go there?
Yep.
Okay.
If at that point we have a disagreement, then we would have to have a meeting.
Okay, so take a look, offer up changes to Steve, then we'll reformulate, redraft, and then get
Sounds good. Final out
before I walk in to the room next week.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're into scheduling.
I do have one more quick item for discussion, if I may.
We're not quite into scheduling. Victor.
Nothing else to do.
We have our RTO update meetings coming up here in about, a couple of weeks. Maybe it's even next week. In any case, they're asking if there's any particular topics you would like to discuss, or you would like them to discuss, rather.
I can't think on the spot of those sorts of things, so I'll give you some ideas.
And that's fine. I can just shoot a follow-up mail to the three of you, and if you just let me know, we'll get out to them.
I definitely have two ideas that I can share with you.
What's that?
I definitely have, well, one for sure.
Certainly. So, yeah, I'll just do that to kind of simplify this. I'll just shoot out a mail.
Well, and I'll just say it here since we're all present, so the other two hear it. One in particular would be... and this has been talked about before with MISO more so, but they were talking about, and there was a different designation. It wasn't, I think they were not MVP projects. They were, the title was a little different, but I want to know where that's at and what they're looking at.
Okay.
MEP?
MVP.
No, I know, but was it MEP?
Oh,
that's another category.
I think that might be it. To me, they were pretty similar, but they were just a little...
It's kind of a new group.
Yeah, right, right. So I'd really like to know what the status is on that and what type of ideas are floating around out there.
Okay.
What's driving them, et cetera.
Sounds good.
And the same with SPP. I don't know if there's anything out of SPP or not, but
I think that all falls into long-term transmission planning, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are underway with that too, aren't you? Or maybe not long-term, but strategic transmission planning. Or
there's always,
yeah,
you know, planning going on.
And it's really, you know, gets to the core of the challenges on the congestion side and maxing out on some of the lines, a lot of the lines.
And takes an amazingly long time for these packages to go through. It's so complex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one project falls off and then two more dive in. It's like hitting, it's like playing whack-a-mole. Okay, getting into scheduling. Anything else?
We just have one item?
No, we have 8 items.
That's why I
warned the other individuals in the room. Now would be a good time if you don't want to be here for a while to leave. So first up, well, Victor.
I think I like the first 5 or something like that. But so
why don't you just run with them, Victor?
Dakota Natural Gas has their trifecta of cases with expanding their territory. We need an informal to discuss the 3
cases. So before we do this, have you looked at the existing informals that are already out there scheduled?
Yes, the next available is the 23rd. They are hoping we can do something sooner. They're eager to get going on this new.
So none of these can go into longer-term informals that already are on the schedule? None of the ones?
I think this is the only informal.
Well, work sessions can also be used.
Right.
Okay. Just trying to make it scheduling easier by using stuff that's already blocked out.
I agree. And that's where I was kind of proposing.
Okay, so they want to do this one before?
Yeah, they were just hoping for as soon as possible.
So if we put,
so they literally said we will make any day work.
With that said, let's. I don't want to jump around a lot, but then number 5 is the formal. Do we slot that into the informal? Would that be enough time? Or not enough time?
Are you talking about the rulemaking commissioner?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put it into an informal for the reason that we have timelines on these. So the first possible date we could have the rulemaking hearing would be on the 28th of September.
Oh, okay.
So and quite honestly, if it's possible, if the commissioners are available, it would be good to do it right on that date because there are additional deadlines, including requirements to go to the AG prior to us providing it to the Legislative Administrative Rules Committee.
It's someone's birthday, though. I don't know if that will work.
Good point.
So maybe the 29th.
No, it's fine.
That'll be out.
Okay, well, then that's not going to make the process easier. Let's just go back to...
Should we schedule that on the 28th, then?
See, I got
to
look
as long as we're at this point.
Well,
sure.
I always block out the entire day because it is Julie's birthday. It's kind of a command performance, so it works for me.
Yep, exactly. Isn't it a holiday, a PSC holiday?
Should be.
Well, it's Yom Kippur.
Exactly.
Okay, so that one.
Afternoon or morning?
How about morning? 10 a.m.?
Well, I think in light of it being your birthday, you should get to pick the time.
I think she said 10.
10 a.m.
Maybe 10 to noon will set aside
Perfect.
A block.
And that's number 5, the rule.
September 28th.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, correct. So as we roll through this for the work sessions, we still have the 23rd, where we can get a couple of work sessions in for sure, probably. So going back to Jack, you had said that they want to get in sooner versus later, so what are you thinking?
I believe that was Victor who was speaking to Dakota Natural Gas.
Yeah,
Victor.
So, yes. they were just like as soon as possible. Whatever is available in your calendars, they are happy to make work for them.
Do you have any proposed date? Or are we
I tried to start guessing here. It's pretty much just kind of start with the first available one. I mean,
Well, the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference would have been last week, or next week, I'm sorry, which isn't the case anymore. I had that those 3 days blocked out, but
what about I could do it on September
3rd? Is there any notice requirement? A certain, like, does it have to be in papers or anything?
This is an informal. We've already issued notices of opportunity that will have been expired by then. So
the afternoon of the 3rd or the 4th would work for me.
I like the 3rd.
Talk me into it.
1 o'clock?
1 p.m. on September 3rd.
September 3rd at 1? And then, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I think that number 6 is something that we definitely need to get that ball rolling on. And so could we schedule that before we do the COVID work sessions? And
could we do 1:30 on the 3rd?
Thank you.
1:30 on the 3rd. I was actually surprised 1 o'clock slid through.
I was like, it's like a
I was going to suggest 12:45.
1 o'clock is hard on staff, just forewarning you.
So could we get the earliest possible date for the number 6 instead of the COVID cases?
So, Jack, remind me on 6. Because there's a hearing date scheduled already for this, right?
There should not be a hearing day set yet.
In the schedule laid out by the ALJ, there's like a hearing in October.
They initially had set it 14th. Out for anticipating that it'd be sometime on that time frame, but there's discovery that needs to be done, and so at this point in time, it's fairly flexible, is my understanding. I guess right now there were a number of motions that were filed, partial dismissal of a number of issues. And that's really at this point in time what the commission has to decide, because you'll be making a dispositive decision on a number of these issues, whether to be heard or not.
And by that, we would clarify better what items are going to be involved in the hearing, as opposed to many, it might be fewer.
Correct, and more than likely, based upon what you guys decide, that will also either expand or limit discovery and the amount of time this needs.
What about the morning of the 3rd?
That doesn't work for me, but I could do any time on the 4th.
Okay. Morning of the 4th, 9 o'clock.
Well, let me ask one other question. If it has to be, yes, but do we expect the Dakota Natural Gas informal? How long do we expect that to go, and how long do we expect this Kessler versus Minn Kota Power work session? Could we do both of them on the 3rd in the afternoon? Or is that too crammed?
I think since we've already had some discussions with Dakota National Gas previously, and knowing what I know about it, I think it probably wouldn't take an extensive period of time.
Like an hour?
Maybe an hour and a half.
I was thinking an hour
what
and a half
is this
as well.
On? Just their new stuff?
It's essentially on their new stuff, but it's three different applications. They have public convenience and necessity. They have a new contract rate, and then the tariff change to add the new service territory into their existing tariff.
Which is pretty straightforward, the last one.
How about 3:30?
Does that leave us enough time?
That's 2 hours, which is obviously more than an hour, hour and a half. Or 4 o'clock?
No, I don't think 4 is way too late. I think we could definitely do 3 or 3:30.
Yes.
4, the next
I think
one.
An hour and a half should be adequate. If you want to be extra safe, you can do a full 2 hours. I don't see any reason it would take any longer than that.
If we start the Kessler case at 3 or 3:30, depending on what time the first one ends, does that leave us enough time to take care of the kind of work that you envision for this?
I think so.
Okay.
I envision it probably take about an hour.
We could go 3:15, and then if we went just a little bit long on Dakota Natural Gas,
Sure.
We're still okay from a, you know, not having to wait to start it.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. That's on the 3rd,
Mr. Chairman.
Right? The 3rd?
Yep. Yes. September 3rd, 3:15. So then we get into work session.
This is first in this series of work sessions for different cases. So this would be MDU Electric and Gas COVID applications. We had informals on all of these already, and I think there was an indication that that the commissioners would like to have an work session before we start drafting orders.
Is this something that you envision us scheduling, like, one period of time and doing all three of these back to back to back?
That would be my thought, yeah. Once we get through the first one, the others are going to be pretty simple.
So we're just discussing whether they should be able to use deferred accounting.
Yep, whether they should be able to use deferred accounting and what type of restrictions we would like to put on that, if so.
So is there a time line specific for that, or does that work for the September 23rd informal?
We certainly could go for the September 23rd informal. These are not time pressing cases.
I like that idea.
So
all three of them.
That's fine. Can we schedule it that way, Jack? To start. So these are all going to be follow on to each other. The first one's going to be going to end up being the longest, and then the other two would be shorter. So can we just schedule the start for the first one, and then do we have to do a staggered start, or can we just say we're going to talk about all of these starting at this time? They're not all consolidated for purposes of hearing, I can tell you that.
I think in the past what we have done is done a staggered start. I know it's a little more convenient, but that's because that allows interested persons who were interested in one and not a different meeting not to have to sit there and wait to see if it was 10 minutes or an hour and a half long. And but, of course, if the commission would like to notice them all three together and say that those are the three things that they're going to be discussed in subsequent order, they could do that.
It's certainly more convenient for us, but I never have liked it when the House does that, and I'm the one that has to sit there through four other hearings before they get to the one I want to participate in, and I'm not a fan of us doing that. Do you imagine the first one taking more than an hour? What if we did them at 12:45, at 1:30, 2:30, and 3:15 or something like that?
I like 1 o'clock.
Thing about this that's a little different than what you're referring to with the House, Randy, is those are separate bills that are completely unrelated. These are all so similar. I find it hard to imagine that we would even treat either one of any of them differently.
That is a good point.
So
let's say, you know, one of the companies, whoever is third, their customer that's real interested but might actually gain a lot by listening to the first one.
Right, and we might not repeat it all.
Yeah.
We might not even repeat the entire conversation by then.
Maybe, probably not going to be here in person either.
Maybe I'm not 100% right on that analogy.
Well, it's very different than a legislative hearing where the issues are very separate.
I'm going to steal that. Maybe I'm not 100% right. Instead of, I could be wrong. That's brilliant.
Not 100% right.
How come no one told me that earlier in life?
My wife's sick of
So, and the other part, too, is they may not be here in person, so you know, they're working remotely. It's a little different when you're in the comfort of your own home office or whatever to wait. And I think you're right. I think they'll be listening in. So what are we looking at for a day?
September 23rd, the informal, 1:30.
Okay. For all three. September 23rd.
Not back to back.
So we're going to issue one note. One notice of meeting, and the three agenda items on the meeting will be during that work session will be the three cases.
Five cases.
Catch me up. In which ones is that going to do?
191, 219,
192,
220, and 193.
2, 3, 4. Okay.
So, yeah, 2, 3, 4.
Three items, five cases.
Okay. Two of them have gas and electric.
Yeah.
And I would just rely on, unless someone else has a preference, I would rely on staff to figure out if one of the cases make the better test case for the, you know, the initial round of questioning.
Sure.
Put that first.
Keep
the companies back to back. They're electric and gas, but I don't have a preference in the order. If staff does, I think make it work the best you think you can.
Sounds good.
Okay, last one.
Two of them, actually, because we also had, I wrote down NSP as the eighth one.
He's going to put that into an informal, I thought. He was going to talk to NSP. Wouldn't you? Yeah, the gas.
I don't remember why I jotted it down.
Yeah, we decided not to. For the NSP gas issue, you were going to talk with them on some dates and look at an informal.
Oh, the informal. Secure. Yeah, yeah.
That was my intent, is to put into an existing formal date.
So we don't have to do that one.
Okay, so legislative discussion, Jack.
So we just, I think about a week and a half ago, we had a legislative discussion. Brian and I have both been working on making the amendments that, of course, the commission suggested to our proposed legislation, or that you guys are all considering. And so we just need to set up a subsequent date then to follow up to make sure, that we're going on the right path.
How long do you think it'll take you to be ready?
Well, the paperwork will be ready very soon, but I think we could probably within a week and a half, we could probably be prepared to have the legislative discussion. That way we can provide it to all of you. And
I'd like to suggest after Labor Day. Just it could be that week after, just because that next week is getting pretty jammed up.
So the week of the 14th?
Isn't Labor Day the 5th and 6th? 7th,
Seventh.
So that week.
How about the 10th?
I meant the weekend. The week right after it.
How about the morning of the
8th, 10th? 9th, 10th, that week.
I think you have an OMS meeting in the afternoon, but how about the morning of the 10th? Or do you need prep time for that?
I can prep on Wednesday. No.
So 9 o'clock,
8:30? 8:30 would be great.
8:30. On the 10th.
And that is September, right?
Yes. And then did we... Oh, we did utilize the... That's right.
That's the morning after our PSC staff picnic.
On the NSP informal, even though we won't firm it up completely, but we do have, of course, the first informal in October would be the 7th, which is 5-6 weeks from now. I would imagine they're going to want prep time as well. We do have the informal slotted again for September. October 7th, is that too far out if that works for them as a date to pitch?
That is one of the days that I was going to probably propose to Excel. Okay.
That would make life easier, assuming there isn't a conflict that's arisen.
All right. We must have a bunch of stuff to sign. Is John gone?
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order on scheduling? Mm-mm. Going once, twice? Okay. We are adjourned.